Backseat Box Office, episode number 28 for the weekend of April 1st through the 3rd, 2011.
Tony.
This is Andrew.
This is Jonathan.
We are the Backseat Prognosticators. I used that joke already. We are the Backseat Producers, and this is Backseat Box Office.
And we are back together.
Woohoo!
The Three Musketeers. Yes. Reformed.
I don't know.
Did you guys miss me last week?
We did.
No.
Mostly not.
So confused. At first, I was like, don't. Oh, and I was stop. Like, oh, you guys suck.
At what point does don't stop become don't stop? Really? Come on. This is a rape culture we live in. Don't you understand how these things work?
Isn't our good friend Eric redefining rape culture on a weekly basis?
Quite likely.
All right. So I, of course, missed out last week.
People.
Thanks. Missed out last week, and of course I missed out on you guys giving me trouble about my 11, 14, something low. It was bad.
12.
12?
12.
And you were at 13, right, Tony?
That is correct.
Okay, just checking.
It wasn't the points we were giving you crap about. It was your...
You didn't show up.
Well, I had no... I could have come on and gone like this. I could have been like... But I don't
Zombie
know
Andrew would have been fine.
Zombie Andrew would have rolled with it, but
I was mocking you for your relativity issues.
Well,
that is pretty hilarious.
I don't like to swear, but F those guys. Come on. Are you kidding me?
Pretty sure that's their corporate philosophy. F that guy.
Their business
Andrew, F him.
Their business plan is screw with Andrew. That's their business plan. They got investors.
You were specifically targeted.
I may be one of those investors.
Is relatively you, Adam, David, Mitchell, and Luke all sitting in a room together?
Relatively, yes.
Well, anyway, I just want to thank you guys for going easy on me last week. I appreciate it.
Boy,
anytime.
Boy, you must have cut a lot out of that episode when we sent you to edit it.
No, actually, it was really late. And I was just like, I just want to get through this. So I hardly cut anything at all. I just pretty much listened to it straight through, cut a few ums, and that was pretty much it. It's pretty raw.
That's probably why people have said that it sounded like one of the weeks when I edited it.
You know, as the weeks go on, I become more and more in tune with your editing philosophy.
Light. Editing light.
That's right. Especially, and you know, it's inversely proportionate to what time I sit down to start editing.
Absolutely.
Hey, this like, looks it's 11 o'clock at night. I don't want to edit.
This waveform doesn't look like an I'm just going to skip over this 3 or 4 minutes.
Oh, look, there's a big hole. I'll cut that out without listening to it and just keep going.
Hey, look, there's Jonathan laughing.
Yeah, that is pretty funny that I can always tell where he laughs. Oh, look.
That's pretty easy to see.
There's Tony smacking his lips. Just cut it.
That's true.
Done. But you know, last week I had a rough week. Tony had a rough week. Even Jonathan with his mighty, I think 15-16 last week had
that
a rough
was
week.
That was a bad week,
but we came storming back this week.
We had an ace in the hole that nobody else had.
Yeah,
we had a wimpy kid.
That's
that,
right,
that came through for the hosts. I think.
Do not doubt the power of the Wimpy Kid.
Don't doubt the power of the kids movie. Except for Mars Needs Moms. Doubt that all you want.
Oh, man.
And except for this week. I have doubts about this week's kids movie.
But really?
Really?
That kind of surprised me. We'll get to it.
We'll get there soon enough. Yeah, I think Jonathan said something earlier this week. I saw it on Twitter where he said something about betting with your geek or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't. I don't remember. Something along those lines.
Something along those lines. And, you know, quite obviously, you know, in looking at it, and I'm the one who kind of does all the, you know, the numbers, trying to figure out what everyone's score is and everything. And it became really apparent as I was putting all the, because I use this big spreadsheet and put everything together. And the three of us all had Diary of a Wimpy Kid at number one, Sucker Punch at number two. And everyone else straight down the line was Sucker Punch at number one. Nobody else in the whole rest of the group had Diary of a Wimpy Kid at number one. So it was really obvious that no one else had that insight that we have been learned by being beat down.
Yeah.
I call that the beastly lesson.
Over the course of the last 6 months of doing this.
That's what really... We put an arbitrary 5-episode limit, but really the moment that the geek title kicks you in the nuts, that is the point at which you actually get to lose your asterisk.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
That's the point at which you realize, oh crap.
Yeah, and this week's scorecard looked like an episode of Web Soup where everybody's just lining up for a nut shot.
Well, this is how our thing came in. As we were talking about, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Roderick Rules, came in number one with 23.7 million. Sucker Punch, which I thought was quite a good movie, came at number two with 19 million. Limitless from Relativity came in number three with 15 million. The Lincoln Lawyer, hold steady, proving out Tony Mast's opinion and theory about how it was going to do in the long term. Hold steady at number four with an 18% drop at 10 million. And Rango drops from number two to number five with 9 million.
Yeah, Rango had a bigger drop than I expected. And actually, I didn't think Lincoln... I thought Lincoln Lawyer would drop a little more than it did.
But I do remember you had said, because it was the last episode I was on, you were like, you said Lincoln Lawyer is going to be... It's going to drop slowly. It's going to... You know, as buzz gets out about it, more people will go see it.
Yep. Yep. And it did. Jonathan, why don't you brag on your picks, Mr. 24?
Yeah, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Well, Paul disappointed me. I thought it was going to hold on a little bit longer than it did. And it
didn't. Hey, buddy, so. I've been there. I feel your Paul pain.
Yeah, Paul didn't disappoint you. Paul kicked you in the nuts and then knocked you into a pile of poop.
You know, I don't blame Paul. I blame Limitless. I don't blame Paul.
So my top four all line up, and then I had Paul at number five, which it was at number six, so that loses me 1 point, and I am almost perfect.
And this is one of those situations where the estimates – getting the actuals in versus the estimates actually helped you.
Yeah, it
because
did,
the
it
estimates had Paul at number seven.
Yeah, Battle Los Angeles was supposed to be number six, and it came in number seven. So.
Granted, during the estimates, they were less than $100,000 apart.
Yeah,
it was close. It was real close.
I
want to
say that Paul like jumped up five or six. 600,000.
Yeah, it was like a bunch of people rallied for you and went and saw Paul. So we know that you got your buddies to do that on Sunday evening.
Yeah, Sunday evening, a mass of your fans headed out to the headed out to the theater to rally for you.
As well they should. As well they should.
So for me, I had the top three dead on. And I just had four and five reversed. I picked Lincoln Lawyer at number five and Rango at four. It was the opposite.
I had a similar type situation. I had one and two spot on, and then I just swapped around three, four, and five. And so they're all each one off, so I ended up with 22.
Yep, and I had a 23. We did great this week. The hosts, we knocked it out of the park this week.
Yeah. Hey, I am. We are no longer tied, Andrew.
You are two. You are 18 hundredths of a point ahead of me, I believe, if I recall correctly, something like that. Maybe 2,300 of a point ahead of me. So enjoy that lead.
It is close. And the thing is every week we go from here, it's going to be marginal differences, unless somebody really, really does something odd.
Well, it almost seems like we should do quarterly or something.
You know, it's all about the difference. So if one of us has a really good week, one of us has a really bad week, we can shift dramatically. But if we're all within 2 to 3 points of each other, whether we do good or bad, we'll just kind of be right there within half a point of each other.
Yeah, the trick is, I think because we're all starting to kind of dial in onto what – I wouldn't be surprised if there's going to be a week coming out soon where it's like, okay, all three of our lists are exactly the same.
Yeah. And that's – I mean – early on, we weren't that far apart in our lists either.
Yeah.
No. But we've never actually, whether by design or just coincidence, we've never actually ended up with that problem.
No.
We've gotten really close.
Yeah.
But not quite.
All right. So.
Wait. You're forgetting something, Tony.
There is something that has been groundbreaking. As far as the leaderboard goes.
Yes, because Tony, for a long time, has been king of the mountain.
I have.
But and king no longer.
I've been dethroned by an asterisk.
By a newcomer. A cocky newcomer.
With an unusual name.
Ah, well, it's Twitter. What do you want?
Yeah, well. All right. Yeah, Riven Sidriel came in and got a 22 last week. First week out, got a 22. Now, he actually left a voicemail, and that's what I wanted to kind of talk about for a second. I tried to get a few other people to shoot some voicemail this way, and couldn't wrangle up enough folks. But I think starting with this weekend, if we can do it, if we get at least 3 voicemails starting this week, I will produce over the weekend a second show that will basically just be the picks, the fan contributor picks for the week. And you guys are welcome to join me if you'd like. I'm just probably going to do something that's basically list reading, but also including any voicemails. If we get at least 3 voicemails, I will definitely do it. So when this drops on Friday, you've got until noon Central Time on Saturday to get your picks in, because once we get past noon, we start getting some of the Friday estimates. I don't want anything hinky going on. You know, I don't want there to be any question from anyone, you know, where these things are coming from. So if you can get me a voicemail by noon on Saturday, sometime over the weekend, I will produce an episode and try to drop it on Sunday Tuesday.
And if you do call in to leave a message, don't walk through a wind tunnel while you're doing it.
Yes.
Pro tip.
We actually got a call from Uriah because he was going to give us his picks via voicemail, because I was going to attempt to do this last week and it didn't quite work out. Mostly because his voicemail started like, "Hey guys, this is Uriah, and here are my picks for the week." And it was terrible.
I would be willing to bet he probably was on AT&T. I have that happen to me every once in a while. On my cell phone, I'll be talking to somebody, and all of a sudden, and it's like, I could record this and send it into the Ghost Adventures guys and tell them, "Look, my cell phone is possessed."
Hey, Zach's going to get on you for getting in with his possessed dick. Watch out.
Hey, we keep talking about Ghost Adventures. My cell phone is. We keep talking about Ghost Adventures, and Melina's going to start listening.
Shucks, another listener.
Well, and I can actually say that Uriah actually does have AT&T.
Oh, snap.
So,
I happen to know that for a fact.
Yeah, I mentioned it to him, and his response was, yeah, I might have been walking while I was leaving that message.
Probably walked into a dead zone. It's disturbingly common. But anyway.
All right, so what's coming out this week? We've got some interesting movies coming out this week.
It's an eclectic bunch.
Yeah. That's a word.
Little similarity between them. Well, let me go ahead and tell you a little bit about them. We have...
As I open the website, so yeah, go ahead.
So we have three very different movies. We have a family animated children's comedy called Hop, featuring the exploits of the up-and-coming young Easter Bunny who is revolting against his family, wants to join a rock band, doesn't want to be the new Easter Bunny, runs off, and then all the chicks have a coup d'etat and try to take over the business. Then what, we have... Go ahead.
He may be revolting against his family, but this movie looks revolting. That didn't work very well.
Ooh, snap.
Wow. And the young Easter Bunny is voiced by Russell Brand.
I don't know who that is.
Have you ever seen Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
No.
How about Get Him to the Greek?
Yes.
Okay. The guy they're getting to the Greek is Russell
Brand. Oh, is that him?
Yeah.
Okay.
He plays Arthur in the new Arthur remake that comes out next week.
Ah.
Paul comes to make Arthur?
Every 5 years. It's in the contract.
You know what? If somebody told me, you know, 5 years ago they're going to remake Arthur, I'd be like, you are insane. How can you remake Arthur? Seriously. But knowing that Russell Brand is going to be doing it, I'm like, you know, I could see that.
Well, you know, they actually had the Arthur trailer in front of Sucker Punch when I went to go see it on Sunday night.
Oh, yeah?
It definitely diverges from the original Arthur by a good bit, I would say, in terms of exactly the style and characteristics he's bringing to that character compared to... It was Gene Wilder in the original one, wasn't it?
No, it was Dudley Moore.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. So it's going to be a different author. I mean, the general plot line seems about similar, but it's...
And you know what? I'm fine with that just because they're making it a modern version. And that's okay. Yeah. I mean, you have a different... There's different sensibilities about what's funny and what it's, you know, what kind of trouble he would get into. But just the type of character that Arthur is, Dudley Moore, you know, captured a character. I think Russell Brand can capture that same type of character just in a different time.
Yeah, yeah. Right, no, but, and I'm all for remakes. I mean, I just saw a remake of True Grit that was spectacular.
That was a pretty good freaking movie, wasn't it?
Oh, my God, that was good. But anyway, so Hop coming out from Universal, releasing around 3,400 theaters. HSX has it in the lead of the three things coming out with about $70 per share currently. I haven't looked at any other sites, so that's all I got about it.
That's what you got on... I'm sorry. I was dealing with some... My mother was trying to call in because today's my birthday. So,
happy birthday, Tony!
Thank you.
How does it feel to be 40?
You know what? It feels pretty much the same as it did being 39 and 364 days old plus one.
That's rough,
it's, you know what? I would... You know, looking back, all things considered, I am so much happier where I'm at 40 than I was at 20. That it's like, it's just, it's almost amusing that people are like, oh, you're old. It's like, you have no clue.
You're dumb.
You know what? I've got nothing to prove to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the old thing, that's just a time-honored way to give people trouble.
You know what? It's funny because... Julie turned 40 2 weeks ago, and I could give her trouble about it, and she got annoyed by the trouble I gave her about it. She tries to give me trouble. I'm like, yeah, whatever. She found an article today that she sent me that I guess they've done studies of at what age people feel old. And apparently, women start feeling old at 29. And men start feeling old at 58. So I'm like, she tried to give me some trouble about it tonight. And I'm like, hey, I've got 18 more years. You felt this way for 11 already. I've got 30 years on you. Do the math.
Hey, speaking about the wonderful Julia Mast, you know, I know she hasn't given us any new picks.
And she likely won't.
Oh.
Makes me That's sad. I think she's retired. Now, especially that she knows she is not officially, she does not officially have the lowest single week score.
Is she going to send Uriah a little thank you card?
She might. She very well might.
So then, you know, going from Easter Bunny hijinks comedy animation, we go to Insidious from the same guys who did Paranormal Activity, horror film, 2,400 screens. You know, I haven't read anything about this, but short story, kids possessed.
You know what? I saw a commercial for it. I could not tell anything about this movie.
The kids possessed.
There was no child in it. I could see nothing. It was just a bunch of fast cuts of random things. And I'm not talking random scenes from the film. I'm just talking random objects. Like, what am I looking at? Oh, wait a minute. There it is in color. Oh, now it's in a negative frame. Oh, there's something different. And now that's in a negative frame. I'm like, am I supposed to be getting a seizure or scared? I don't know. I'm not real sure. But it's rated PG and you're calling it horror, so I'm likely out.
Well, did you see Paranormal Activity?
I have not yet seen it.
Okay. And I'm not even sure if that was PG or R, so I'm not sure if that's much to equate between them, but it was a little freaky.
Next on the list, speaking of PGs and Rs, The King's Speech
is being re-released. Happy about this one.
See, like I'm of two minds.
I understand why they're doing it. I don't have a moral or, you know, mental problem with them releasing The King's Speech as a PG-13 movie. What I don't like is that I have no idea how that's going to play on the list.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, it's only on 1,000 screens.
So was the original.
Yeah, but the original was.
I don't think the original one ever got above like 1,500.
Yeah, and but it was also against other Oscar movies. It wasn't against movies that, you know, were trying to make money.
Well, I mean, it was against other movies. You're not going to have a lot of people coming out to see repeat Sears. I don't think people who saw it the first time are going to be like, oh my God, there's a PG-13. We got to go.
What if they're taking their kids to see it?
They could take their kids to see it. This is
a historical thing. It's a great movie, blah, blah, blah. We want to take, you know, we weren't sure about the R-rated. We want to take you to see this one now since it's coming out.
Like, and I guess
they've got to be doing it for a reason. That's, you know.
I guess it's possible. I just don't see them cracking into the top five this week with it, though, in only 1,000 theaters. I don't think it's likely,
but I think there's a slim chance it still could happen.
In fact, you know, I left that off when I did that my Monday column on Tuesday. I actually left the King's Speech out because 1,000 screens, I don't think you can call wide release.
It's barely wide release.
So anyway, to any listeners who are surprised that this movie's coming out this weekend, sorry.
Yeah, so... And just for anyone who's going to try and use this for prognostication purposes, to understand the history of why this is being made into PG-13 and what exactly they're doing to make it PG-13, apparently it was only rated R because of language. And there is, I haven't seen the film, but I understand that there's a sequence in the film, spoiler alert, that... The coach, the speech coach, is trying to get the king to get past his stuttering. And in doing so, he kind of says, you know, you got to tap into something primal and you're going to need to get to the point where You just speak. Words just come out of your mouth. And as we all know, you know, slam your thumb with a hammer, somebody cuts you off on the road, you know, somebody looks at you cross-eyed over the counter at McDonald's.
Someone makes fun of your scores on, you know, a local podcast.
Maybe. In those instances, you just swear. You just blurt out swear words. My wife had a story a couple weeks ago where she was driving and got cut off on the road and slammed on the brakes, and from the back seat she heard the lovely sweet 3-year-old Aaron blurt out "dumb masts." So technically not swearing, but she was repeating barely something she had heard. But yeah, so I guess he taps into that swear reaction, and I guess there's just this sequence where he's just unleashing a torrent of profanity. And from my understanding, the way they're making this rated PG-13 is they're just muting that. Like, the scene plays out, but there's no sound.
Hmm.
So, in a way, I'm almost curious to see it, to see exactly how it plays, because I'm of the mind that there are times when, you know, releasing an episode, because we've released them with and without profanity, and sometimes they're bleeped and sometimes they're not. Mostly it's due to the time that it takes to do it. But quite often I've found that when you bleep something out, it's more humorous than if you just let the profanity ride.
That's why we censor stuff on Way of the Game, it's largely funnier. Because it's funnier.
Especially with that quack.
that quack.
That is funny.
That's a classy quack.
Yeah, he doesn't use the quack anymore, unfortunately. But
I think he felt like it was encouraging you to swear more.
I think he felt like it's easier to just use the create tone thing. And I got to say, when we had one episode where Alex was talking about his like Mexican AI cohort on The Biggest Loser, and I remember what I said, and it wasn't all that terrible. He was talking about how he was playing The Biggest Loser on the 360. And how he had like a guy that he had a big fat white guy and a big fat looked like a big fat Mexican guy were the two people that he was up against in the challenge or whatever. And I said something that really wasn't all that terribly profane, but he just cut like, and there was a 3-second beep and it was hilarious. even knowing what was underneath it was like, that's brilliant. So.
Yeah. I've actually noticed this in some TV shows. If you're even fairly decent at reading lips, because they bleep on reality shows a lot, mm-hmm. and we watch a number of them around these parts. there are times when they bleep, and you're watching their mouth, and you see that the person say the word crap, and they bleep it. But if you think about it, it's funnier because they bleeped it, because if they said, "I don't give a crap," so what? But if you bleep it and your mind associates that bleep with "I don't give a shit," that's funnier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's what you don't hear. You know, what you invent in your brain when you don't hear what actually said is usually more amusing to you than what was actually said.
Exactly.
Robot chicken is far more hilarious when they bleep stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Sequest, you know, Sequest, the old Adult Swim show, actually, on one of the early seasons of the DVDs, they, after the credits rolling, they had this sea captain and his first mate talking about his mom, and, you know, it was just bleep, bleep, bleepy, bleep, 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 and, you know, he found her bleeping in this tavern, bleep. And so on the DVD extras, they actually have that unbleeped. And, you know, the guys talking on the comedy is like, yeah, we thought it was a lot of fun if we just put a lot of bleeps in. And they were right. Because you listen to the real thing, you're like, this is kind of dumb. But you listen to the bleep version, and you're just dying of laughter.
Yep. Yep. I'm with it.
All right.
So anyway, King's Speech.
King's Speech. Next up, we have The Source Code featuring, starring Mag's brother.
I want to go see this movie.
This looks like a good movie.
Yep. In my understanding, it's directed by the guy who directed Moon.
Mm. Yep.
And that's...
Duncan Jones.
I'm hot for that.
Also known as David Bowie Jr.
Have you seen Moon?
I've heard you guys talk and verbally masturbate over Moon.
Oh, yeah.
Moon is good. Moon is on Instaflix, so check it out.
It is, it is worth spending your time on.
I need to.
Moon is one of those movies, too, that even though it's on Instant Play, I still want to go buy it. It's that good.
Yep. I'm with you. You know what? I'm stupid because, like, yes. Every couple of weeks on Amazon, it's out there for $10 on Blu-ray. I don't know why I just haven't bought it at this point. Thank you for agreeing to my stupidness. Thank you.
So the source code, here's the plot. Jake Gyllenhaal is in some sort of super science experiment. He gets sent back to the scene of a tragedy. He's there 8 minutes, and he's trying to figure out what caused this tragedy to help prevent it from occurring again.
You can jump into the last moments of a dead person.
Right.
And so a terrorist attack on a train. They're trying to figure out who did it so that they can prevent a bigger one later on.
And in the course of it, he falls in love with this woman, wants to save her. That's not really how this technology works. And I just remember that black guy going, "That's not how the science works." It's like he's talking to a little kid.
Well, you know, and when he says that, I'm thinking, you're right. That's not how it would work.
Right. This you doesn't can't, make she's sense. Already dead. It's not time travel.
Yeah.
No, in some ways, there's an old Arthur Clarke book where they had technology where they could view different places in time. And the technology was such that you could view it, but you couldn't alter it. You could only look back.
Right.
And it kind of reminded me of that in some ways. Just the little snippets of it I've seen.
It looks really good. I'm looking forward to this one.
Well, it doesn't actually have Maggie in it, but it's got her brother, so I'm excited for it.
It's close.
It's as close as you can get, really.
Oh, boy.
Hey, it is Andrew we're talking about over there, though.
It's too bad Helen Mirren isn't in it.
That's true. It is too bad.
Helen Mirren is in everything.
God, I wish she was in everything. Anyway. Yeah, so those... I think we didn't mention it, but HSX has the source code around $40 a share, has Insidious around $23 a share.
What's it saying, Hoppus?
HSX is so much.
Again, you know, I just had this conversation with someone else earlier tonight. It's the most reliable thing we found. for nothing else, that's why it's worth mentioning. It's not 100% better than anything else we've ever tried.
That's true. That is true. And you have to kind of know how to temper it, too, because there are some movies that are going to trend differently.
Yeah, some are going to pop big and then fall off quick, and some are going to be more of a long-term, kind of a long burn.
Yep. Hence my point about our Lincoln Lawyer.
Mm.
For instance, I think Sucker Punch is going to peak quick and then fall off fast.
Mm. I think it's going to fall off really fast after this.
Yeah. I mean, I saw it this weekend. It's a beautiful, beautiful film. It's worth going to see just to watch the graphics. It's, of course, good if you're kind of into geek culture like we are.
Okay, but, so I have a question.
Yeah.
How many times did someone punch someone really slow and then the action speed up right after that?
Nah, not so much punching.
Or
physical combat, sure, with swords and whatnot. Yeah, yeah. Right. There was a good bit of that. Yes.
So things move really slow, and then when at the point of contact, the point of impact, it speeds up.
Or things slow down as someone sweeps around a corner, spraying down bullets onto enemies, and then you know it starts to speed up. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. It's a Zack Snyder film, then.
It is. I mean, if you've seen Zack
Snyder,
and I'm
okay
films,
with that. I mean, that's his signature. That's his go-to move. You know, it's like the, what is it, the John Woo films where they all had the doves?
Yeah.
I mean, it's so, just, you come to expect it. And if it's not there, it's kind of like, well, is this really his movie? Kind of like when Kevin Smith made, when he made Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, and the camera moved. It was odd. It was like, did he really direct this?
Yeah, that was weird. It's like, who actually did this, really? Yeah,
exactly.
Who was giving him notes? But, no, so, you know, Sucker Punch, real quick, you know, kind of operates on three levels of reality. And there's just enough plot to get you through. If you're looking for something deep, complex, you know, for the different layers of reality they use, the plot is very simple. But I think it's compelling. I think it's interesting enough that I wouldn't get bored watching it again. And, of course, it's just a gorgeous film to watch. And the music, the soundtrack, I'm thinking about buying it.
Really?
Yeah. So that's my quick Sucker Punch recap.
All right.
There you go.
And and Darren, if you want more information, Darren actually posted a review that I really agree with, which is different on our site.
It's different because you agree with Darren's review, or?
Yeah, usually we have very different kind of from reading his stuff, and we've never talked in person, of course, mm-hmm. but we have very different. We like different things, so we feel differently about things. But
I understand because I have the same feelings about Darren's reviews, but Darren is very consistent in his reviews.
He is, and that's kind of why it's weird how I read his review. I was like, yeah, that, you know, I liked it a little bit more than he did. He was a little more middle of the road. I was a little more of a fan about it, but he was spot on about it.
Excellent.
Cool. What's your lists?
Well, who's first? Oh, that's right. It's Jonathan.
Jonathan's first.
Come on, big dog.
Since I have dinner waiting for me, I think I might just read my list and then, you know, I'm out.
Bolt.
Just bolt. Because I don't want to be yelled at.
More.
More.
More. Well, the yelling hasn't started yet. I just kind of a disappointed look. So trying to avoid the yelling starting.
when she throws the cat at you, duck.
More worried about having the here's your dinner.
All right, go.
All right, so I think Hop looks terrible.
But.
So I'm not putting it number one. I'm going to put Source Code number one. I think it looks really good. I think it's compelling. I think if you look at Battle LA, the sci-fi action kind of thing that they've got going on, I think there are people looking to watch movies like that. So I'm going with number one on that, just because I hope to God Hop is terrible and does poorly. But I'm sure it's not, so I put Hop at number two.
Good call.
That way, even if it is number one, I'm not that far off. except that's not the way it works. Damn it. Anyway.
Nope.
I still don't understand our scoring. So anyway, number three, I've got Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Number four, Insidious. And then number five, Limitless. And I tell you what, I'm concerned. I'm still concerned about King's Speech, because there was a point in time where they were like, King's Speech will open in 1,000 theaters, and then it actually opened in like 1,600. So I don't know.
That is true.
But that's my list.
All right. We'll go get some sign off and go get some dinner.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that.
All right, so, we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Is he gone? Can we talk about him?
You know what?
Can we talk about how bad his picks are?
I just hung up on him. So yeah. Wow. Okay.
Well, you know, just to critique his picks, I didn't write them all down, but I don't think Source Code's coming number one.
I would find it difficult to believe that Source Code would come in at number one.
It's a little farther down my list.
Though. Yeah, I haven't actually made out my list to this point, but I'm kind of doing that now.
You want me to jump ahead? Because
you know what? Go ahead and jump ahead. Yeah. I'm kind of sketching things out here just to kind of see what I'm coming up with.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking hop. Actually, let me flip over to that right screen. Sorry, processing. Okay, I think hop. You know, it's opening in 3,400 theaters. It's a holiday weekend. Now, I don't know for sure people are going to be taking their kids out to see an Easter movie. Wait,
what holiday weekend is it?
Isn't Easter this coming weekend?
No.
Easter's, is it two weekends?
Easter is not until... Easter is like 3 weekends from now.
Wow. Well, it's a holiday movie. How about that?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a holiday movie.
That actually kind of helps me solidify. So I am putting Hop at number one. It's opening in a large amount of theaters. It's doing well on HSX. And again, you can't discount most kids' movies, with the exception of Marcy's Mom's. And unlike Jonathan, I don't think it looks that bad. You know, it looks... Animation looks solid. I think it's got a cute plot line. You got little cute little yellow chicks having a coup d'etat against cute little bunnies. The elite military strike force are female bunnies called the Pink Berets, for God's sake.
So, Holden's not been feeling well this week, and we went to, we were driving around, and I was playing with Pandora on my phone, and I was switching tracks, and on the Android phones, apparently what it does now is it'll actually play commercials, and it played a commercial for Hop. So I kind of held the phone up to him, and so he was watching the little 30-second mini trailer.
Okay.
And so we get out of the car, and we're walking, and he's talking, and he's like, you know, I don't get how they get animals to do that. It's like, what? He's like, yeah. I said, you mean how well they act in that movie Hop? And he's like, yeah, how do they get animals to do that? I said, you realize that those are not real animals. What? The animation is solid in this.
Yeah.
It's
beautiful. And yeah, it's something I'd take my kid to see. Unlike Marcy's Mom, I would be more than happy to take the youngin' out to go see Hop this weekend.
Yeah.
So I'm putting it number one. Now, number two was a little more of a sticky point. I was looking at Diary of a Wimpy Kid, $23.7 million. I'm looking at the source code. Those are really my two options. I think Sucker Punch is going to drop off pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going back and forth, Diary, Source Code. End up going Diary of a Wimpy Kid at number two. I went Source Code number three. Then I had to go between Sucker Punch, Insidious, Sucker Punch, Insidious. You know, films, Paranormal Activity has come out and done amazingly big numbers for, you know, low budget, small number of theater films.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this could end up burning me. It could be that type of situation where it's going to come out and pull down $40 million its first weekend, but I don't think that's going to happen. So I end up putting Sucker Punch at number four and Insidious at number five.
Interesting.
Booyah.
Interesting. Because I was following you there for a while.
And, sure. Probably for the first two, perhaps.
Yeah, I was sketching mine out. And I was kind of on the fence with Diary and of a Wimpy Kid and Source Code as well. It's really going to depend on the Diary of a Wimpy Kid fall off, I think. Now, I actually went and saw it this past weekend. Took the boy child to see it. It was pretty funny. Probably not as solid as the first one was, but it's an established franchise, and it's funny, and it's got a good story about brothers. I have a brother, and I could see some of the stuff in that movie relating for, you know, the older younger brother thing, and I got it. It was a good solid family story,
right?
I'm hedging on this one, but I'm going to go ahead and call Diary at number two. So Hop number one. I think that's a no brainer, honestly. Regardless of even if you don't think it looks like a good movie, it's it's good animation from the same folks who made Despicable Me, which they're touting that heavily, and Despicable Me pulled in a pretty sizable bank.
Yeah.
So it's about an upcoming holiday, and it looks like it's got a lot of good, clever gags.
It's got cute, fuzzy animals.
It has a bunny sitting on a car, pooping out jelly beans.
Oh my God. That was such a good scene.
Come on.
And later on when the girl takes the jelly bean, yes. The guy's like, no!
Yes.
Anyway, cool.
Yeah, right there. I was like, oh yeah, we're going to go see that. All right, so Hop at number one, Diary of a Wimpy Kid at number two, Source Code at number three. I think here's where we differ. And it's, yeah, I think I'm going to go with Limitless at number four. I think that Sucker Punch is just going to drop that much, and I question whether Insidious is going to be able to make enough to get up to the point of Limitless, which I think it still is pulling in over 10.
Hey, I didn't pick Limitless the first week it was out. I'm not going to start now.
I think Limitless can pull out fourth place, and I was going to say Sucker Punch at number five, but I think I'm going to go with Insidious. I think I'm going to have faith in the crappy low rent PG-13 horror movie that I always dismiss, and I'm still kind of being dismissive of it, but I'm actually giving it a whole lot more props than the numbers that I'm writing down here would show. I'm fudging those numbers up quite a bit and fudging Sucker Punch down quite a bit to make this happen. But so yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and say Insidious at in fifth, because you know HSX is calling $23 a share right now.
Yep,
that means it's probably gonna pull in between 8 and 9. If Sucker Punch loses 50%, that's at 9.5.
Yeah.
So,
But here's the thing.
I'm gambling, but I think this is a decent gamble because I've been burned by this in the past, so I'm actually going to try to learn from my mistakes.
Well, in the, as we talked about before a little bit, HSX, not an infallible source. It's been wrong before.
That's true.
It's been wrong by a little, it's been wrong by a lot.
Yeah, and the one thing I didn't look at, which is tends to be a better predictor than just actually looking at HSX's numbers, is looking at the way that the movies are trending. So now I just clicked in through Insidious, and yeah, it's at $23 a share, but at the end of the year, or the beginning of this year, it was at like $10 a share.
Right. So it's popping up a good bit.
Yeah, it's steadily trended upward. Which means people are having faith in it. Now it hit a high watermark of above 25 like a week ago, and it's dropped back down. But it's never been that high. So it is far higher than it's ever been in its life cycle. So I don't know. I'm pretty comfortable with my picks right here, my top five.
Well, you know, an HSX is you know, a mock stock exchange.
Yeah.
Because the theory is that people, even when they're using fake money, are very serious and very deliberate when they're making these decisions. And the thing is that the stock market, on average, over long periods of time, will perform well and be a good predictor. But, you know, it's going to be wrong. It'll undervalue something that's going to end up, you know, exploding, and then everybody's going to chase it to catch up to it. You know, we've seen that happen to some other movies that were lowly ranked on it going into, like, say, Beastly.
That's true.
So, and that's somewhat based probably upon the population that's on that website, which I have no idea what their demographics are. But let's see, a bunch of people sitting around trading stocks for fake movies. I'm going to say tech savvy, middle aged nerds.
Maybe.
I mean, that's me. I'm on there.
Yeah.
So
that's fair. I mean,
I'm sure there's a wide range of people, but if you look at, you know, percentages about who's doing it, you know, just like we are sometimes blinded by our own prejudices when we make our picks, you know, very well the traders that are looking at these movies may do the same thing.
That's true. That is true.
Anyway, right. Sorry, that was probably a little bit off track and boring. But
all right, so we've got four more picks because I forgot about William Paul and his picks.
Is Rich up first? Let's do Rich.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do Rich first. It's a voicemail, so we're going to go ahead and play his first.
Hey, guys, this is Rich calling in with my asterisk-removing picks for this week. Man, where to start? Week kind of sucks, and as I've said many times, I hate kids' movies, and we've got two. Alright, so I'm going to go with Source Code for my number one.
Wow.
Diary of a Wimpy Kid 2, Roderick Rules, for my number two. Insidious, number three. Hop for number four. And Sucker Punch for number five. Let's get that asterisk out there, boys. See ya.
I love Rich so much for many reasons.
So if you want to join in and leave us one of those voicemail thingies, call 618-207-4794 or go to the Backseat Producers website. On the left-hand side, there's this big call me thing with a phone. Click on that. You can put your phone number in and it will call you. If you want to call from a landline, you can do that. No long distance. It's good stuff.
You said thingies. And I love the fact, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I love the getting other people's picks because they're so, you know, we talk this out for half hour before we make our picks. We get such different opinions when we get caller and listener feedback.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And as Riven Cinderella can show.
Hey, a new person can come in, and I mean, I don't know how long he's been listening to the show. I don't know if he listens, if he listens regularly or not. Perhaps he listened to all of our analysis before he made his choices, which may or may not be a bad move.
Maybe a bad move some weeks, like last week.
Yeah, last week, not such a good idea. So, let's see, some of the picks that we have here right now. Father Beast, his picks are number one, Hop, and second place, Source Code, third, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, and fourth place, Insidious, and in fifth place, Sucker Punch, which...
Solid.
I think that's... Based on what you and I have done, I think those are fair picks. He also has given us the picks for his daughter, who he is calling Menolly, M-E-N-O-L-L-Y, as opposed to Mentally, which is completely different. We're not going to go there. Number one, Hop. Number two, Source Code. Number three, Insidious. Four, Sucker Punch. And five, Diary of a Wimpy Kid. You know, depending on the drop-off, that is just as fair a set of picks as what we have selected.
Well, you know, I didn't mention it when we were talking about it, but in the back of my mind, there is the worry that Hop is going to cannibalize the profits from the Diary of a Wimpy Kid, or the two of them are just going to feed off each other and split, and both of them are going to come in low. But
that would have to be a lot of cannibalization on Hop. I think they're two completely different audiences. I really do. I think
there's some overlap.
There's some, but I can honestly see taking my 3-year-old daughter to see Hop, and my 8-year-old son. Right. Where Diary of a Wimpy Kid? No, I'm not going to take the 3-year-old little girl to see Diary of a Wimpy Kid. It's live act. For one, it's live action. Right. She's just not down for live action movies at this point.
Well, and I think you're right. I think Diary breaks
saturated color. You know,
noisy,
melting active. The back of your brain with the colors you're seeing. Yeah, she's just not going to be as into it. Plus, it's about the Easter Bunny. She can relate more to Easter Bunny than she can to having a teenage older brother. In a number of years, she might be completely down for the Diary of a Wimpy Kid stuff. because she will have a much older brother. But at this point, no, no, not really at all.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think it breaks, Diary of a Wimpy Kid breaks much older. But I do think there's some overlap in between.
Oh, yeah, there is. There is. I think Diary of a Wimpy Kid is more likely to suffer from it than Hop is going to be.
Okay, moving on.
All right, and finally, William Paul's picks. Number one, Hop. Number two, Source Code. Three, Limitless. Four, Insidious. And five, Lincoln Lawyer. So there you go. Those are the picks that I am aware of to this point. Wait a minute. You know what? I take that back. I have an email of Jeff's. No, I do not have Uriah's picks at this point.
Okay. But Jeff Bailey?
Jeff Bailey. Jeff, yeah. JB63. I've got his.
The better JB. As I like to call him.
Let's see. Number one, Hop. Number two, Source Code. Three, Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Four, Limitless. Five, Lincoln Lawyer.
Well, I hate anybody who puts Limitless in their top five, regardless of performance. So, you know. Besides that, though, that's good. That's solid.
Yeah, I'm wondering if I'm making a mistake with having Diary of a Wimpy Kid at number two, but I'm sticking with it. I'm gonna let it ride, as it were. It could bite me in the ass if Source Code ends up popping first place.
But yeah, I mean,
I find that highly unlikely at this point.
It's a possibility, but yeah, I'm with you. I think it's pretty unlikely.
I just think it's a little too thinky, actiony. I mean, I think if it had any danger of approaching Hop's numbers, it would be pushed off closer to summer box office kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, so. And I think, you know, actually, let's look at this real quick. This may need some editing, but let's look at the Adjustment Bureau, where it came out. I mean, they're both kind of thinky, reality-bending.
That's true.
Movies with a fairly well-known lead role.
That is true.
To be fair,
Adjustment Bureau has a more well-known lead actor.
Yeah, by a bit, but I wouldn't say a lot more.
Matt Damon?
At this day and age.
Well, I mean, look at his work in the Bourne stuff. I mean,
look at Jake in Brokeback Mountain.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, they're both fairly well known. I would say Matt Damon, over the course of his career, has had a much more successful career to this point. But Jake Gyllenhaal, at this point, I think they're in the box, in the neighborhood of each other.
I mean, and look, you know, you've got Matt Damon, you know, Ben Affleck, Jake has Mags. So, I mean, really, who are you going to vote for?
Maggie.
Always.
You always bet on Maggie.
Yep.
All right. So opening weekend of the Adjustment Bureau was $21.1 million.
That is a good, solid opening.
Yep.
And if Source Code matches that, it should be in second.
It should.
I don't think it would be in first. I think it would be in second.
No.
I question whether it would make that much. But
I think Hop will... In my mind, my wild imaginings, I imagine Hop's going to bring it around 30, 32 million.
Maybe. I think that's still a little high. I put it about 25, but that's probably a little bit low. Maybe closer to 28, 30.
We can come to the middle and say 29?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's call it 29. Right. I don't know.
All right, so that's all our picks for the week, right?
Yes, it is.
Well, you know, I was not here last week, as we mentioned, so there's a couple things I wanted to knock out real quick. Fear the Con, fantastic.
Excellent.
Had a great lunch with you, your wonderful wife, your boy child, your girl child, Luke, his sister wives, David and his sister wives, yes. Luke and Melina. Had a wonderful brunch. Got to see a lot of people. I don't know if any of them actually listen to this podcast, but if you ever get the chance to go to St. Louis for Fear the Con, I highly recommend it.
Or for Archon, which is coming up in October.
And I will be back for Archon.
Archon will be wonderful.
I will be there for more than one day this time.
Fantastic.
Because that I mean, it was cheap because there was no hotel room, but it was kind of brutal getting up early, rolling up there, and then turn around and going back in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And I missed some I missed some craziness in the room later on.
You did.
Yeah, I did.
I can't promise the same level of craziness, but it's a fair bet that there will be some.
Well, we just know if Rob Justice shows up, there will be balls.
Indeed.
And if with a lot of luck, there will be alcohol, fire, and Jonathan falling into a bush.
That, you know what? We need to do something far more epic to top that.
I agree.
It's all about escalation.
I just, I wish I could have seen that. Wish I could have seen Jonathan going into that bush like a big old redwood just being chopped down.
Yeah.
Using those massive hands to catch himself on the way down. I mean, you think they'd work as parachutes because, I mean, they would break enough wind resistance, you'd think.
He could use... Why use... He probably doesn't have as much wear and tear on his car brakes as he does. Yeah, he can just put his hands out and just using his air brakes.
People think he's signaling. Nah, he's just slowing the car down. All right.
I have one more point of announcement to make because I was kind of holding this off. I didn't want to hype it up too much, but there are some changes that are coming to the podcast.
This podcast.
Oh, you know about this.
Are you firing me?
No. Oh, no, good. We are being hired, remember? So as everyone may or may not be aware, Backseat Producers, we use Box Office Mojo pretty heavily for our data sourcing.
Yeah.
They have become aware of this.
I'm very excited by this. Where this is going.
So they've noticed us and they've contacted us and we are going to be brought into the fold, as it were. Now, if you are not aware, Box Office Mojo is an IMDb company, and IMDb means Real Internet Monies. So, there's gonna be some changes.
Oh yeah,
we're not entirely sure how it's all gonna shake out. We did just get permission. We couldn't talk about it until now. That's actually why we're not streaming this, because technically we still can't talk about it now, but because it's being released not in March, we can. And by the end of the month, we will be like fully branded as Box Office Mojo IMDb. Now, it doesn't go off into Backseat Producers, unfortunately. We're still working on the details, maybe. But Backseat Box Office... Yeah, we are becoming a for reals, for monies, you know, fat bank podcast.
Yeah, I mean, as long as I've been listening to podcasts, you hear the joke about, you know, that podcasting paycheck. And now for reals, we're going to be getting a podcast.
Yeah, I know I'm sounding really low key about this mostly because I still don't believe it myself.
Oh no, I'll
it's like until I see a check and money deposited and the check not bounce, I'm taking none of this seriously. But yeah, so
it's you know, I was kind of surprised about it, so I kind of in shock about it myself.
Yep. All right, so unless you don't have anything else, I think that we call it.
Just one more quick thing. Contributor, contestant, listener, William, I've been calling out his picks. Just want to wish him a happy first week at his new job.
Yes, congratulations on the new job, and hope it goes well. I hope you enjoy your commute across the room. That's a good commute to have.
All right. I think that's it. You good? Right.
That's it.
All right. See you guys later.
April Fools! Hey, if you're listening this far, you've heard us say April Fools. Yeah, the whole Backseat Box Office becoming part of Box Office Mojo and IMDb, April Fools. So if you'd like to play along, we would appreciate it if instead of spoiling it, instead of ruining it for anyone, to just make the joke last a little bit longer, if you could go ahead and if you want to mention to us that you've listened to the episode, if you want to comment on the big news, as it were, go ahead and use the hashtag #BSBOIMDB. And that way we'll know that you've listened, you've heard, you know, you're in on the joke, and then you can help kind of spread the word and make this thing a little bigger than it is, just you know, fun amongst friends. Thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. And hey, don't forget, you can always join in on the fun a little more interactively by giving us your picks. Do it at the website, send us an email, send us a voicemail, tweet it, go to the forum. We're trying to make it easy. If we could intercept smoke signals, we would probably take those as well. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys later. Here's Rich's voicemail as transcribed by Google Voice.
Got it.
Hey, guys. This is Rich calling in with my asks for moving picks. Because, man, we're start. As we kinda sucks. As I've said many times, I hate to the movies. And we've got two, all right. So I'm gonna go with Source Code for my number one. Diary of a Wimpy Kid to Robert moves my number two. In City is number three. How 4 number four. And Sucker Punch number five. Get that out yourself. There, boys. Hey.
Have you ever noticed that Rich is never positive about his picks?
Are any of us ever really positive about our picks?
We're all underselling ourselves, I think. Because, you know, that way you do bad, then you don't have to do it.
Exactly.
Every voicemail from Rich starts with, hey, guys.
This is going to suck.
Way to start.
Oh.
God, I'm so glad he calls in.